I'm Amy Holmes, in All Week with John Hockenberry. John, we have the curious coincidence of Americans being held in not one, but two countries, both antagonists of the United States, Iran and North Korea. It's strange.
Well, a consistent narrative, and it's probably no accident that it's Iran and North Korea, nations that also have a very difficult diplomatic relationship with. The question really is, are these individuals detainees? Are they hostages? Are they diplomatic bargaining chips? Are they actually defendants? Well, the answer is they could be all of the above. Bill Clinton arrived in Pyongyang early this morning to negotiate the release of two American journalists there. Laura Ling and Una Lee have been convicted by the regime of grave crimes, which could be a euphemism for espionage. A friend of Laura Ling, Rob Everett, told the BBC show The World Today that he hoped Clinton's visit would help to secure the release of the women.
We have all been seeking some sign of movement towards the North Korean government, showing amnesty towards these women. And I think that it's a very sort of cautiously hopeful about his time over there.
Well, we've been discussing this with Jim Walsh, who's a North Korea expert at MIT, the security studies program there. Bill Clinton famously attempted to negotiate, you may recall, an overall nuclear deal with the North Koreans right at the end of his administration back in 2000. And Jim, I'm wondering if the former president has a personal agenda here. I mean, this comes right after the North Koreans seem to offer an opening for some sort of bilateral talks, right after deciding not to talk with the United States for quite a while.
Well, John, you're right. This whole situation is layered with irony. You may remember even before Clinton expressed an interest in traveling to North Korea at the end of his second term, Jimmy Carter, a former president, intervened on a nuclear crisis under Bill Clinton's tenure, and the Clinton administration was less than thrilled about this intervention by an outsider, but it produced a positive result that led to an agreement that helped freeze North Korea's nuclear program. You know, whether Bill Clinton has a personal agenda on North Korea remains to be seen. It hasn't been a focus of his foundation. My guess is his main concern as a former president is that he doesn't want to go there unless he has some advance signal from North Korea that this is in fact going to be a successful trip. So the fact that he's going is something I take as a good sign that something is probably in the works.
So Jim, why do you suppose the Obama administration tapped Bill Clinton to make this trip, given his mixed track record with North Korea?
Well, I think Bill Clinton's record on North Korea is one where he wanted to accomplish something under his tenure.
Highly motivated.
Highly motivated. Yeah, came right. Very, very close, very, very close. But then it just sort of fell apart there as Florida chads and ballots were being examined. But I think in this case, it's probably President Obama and the Secretary of State who are making the decision as to whether to send Bill Clinton or not, unlike the Jimmy Carter situation where Carter sort of went on his own. Seems to me highly unlikely that this is something where Bill is freelancing. So the reports have been that Gore, a former Vice President Gore, might go. Certainly Bill Richardson, the former governor or current governor of New Mexico, had made similar trips in the past. But this seemed to be something that the North Koreans were interested in, to have a former president visit, and that's what probably sealed the deal.
But again, we're kind of stirring the pot here. I mean, this was so well concealed that, I mean, on some level, while what you're saying, Jim Walsh, of the MIT Security Studies Program is plausible, we actually don't know officially. But it is impossible to imagine that Hillary Clinton would have allowed Bill Clinton to just sort of go in on her own. Let's talk a little bit about the protocol in a situation like this. When there are people arrested, it's not the Secretary of State or the President that lead on something like this. It would be an envoy or a lower-level diplomat, correct?
That's most likely the case. Usually in diplomacy, you don't send the Secretary of State in at the drop of a hat. It's something that comes after a long process and where lower-level officials sort of pave the way for higher-level officials. But this is a special case. Again, it's a humanitarian mission, if you will, not sort of a straight-up two-nation negotiation on broad set of issues. At least that's not the way the U.S. is probably treating it. It's a special case with a special problem, and in those circumstances, it makes perfect sense to send an envoy, and in this case, an envoy who has some juice of his own.
But I have a question about that. Earlier, you described Bill Clinton as a rock star, so he brings a lot of attention, media attention, to these negotiations. Is there risk in that, and by extension, risk for the Obama administration?
Well, certainly if it's an unsuccessful trip, then that would be a risk both personally for former President Clinton and for the administration. It would make them both look bad. But that's why and this is just a deduction on my part, but this is why I feel fairly confident that the former president wouldn't agree to this unless something had been agreed to in advance. And from what I'm hearing, this has been in the planning stages for at least a couple of weeks.
On the other side of the coin there, though, the North Koreans may want a rock star. I mean, only Bono would have a higher profile than Bill Clinton going in. I mean, that's exactly what they're looking for here to reset the deck on these very, very frustrating nuclear talks that have been going on.
Well, precisely. It serves a political purpose for them insofar as he is high profile. He is a rock star. He's the highest ranking American to visit North Korea in roughly a decade.
Since Madeleine Albright.
Exactly. And then, and you can have a debate, which is a bigger deal, a sitting Secretary of State or a former president. They're all big. So this is a big deal for North Korea. It helps them at the level of pride and status and respect that they think they deserve, that they're not getting at a time when they're having an internal political transition, when we all think that the current leader, Kim Jong-il, is on his way out and going to be replaced by his youngest son. So for them, it serves several purposes. But for us, this is a big deal, to not simply for the journalists, which is obviously important, but it does present an opportunity, and we don't want to put too much of a burden here, but an opportunity to reset, hit the reset button, as Bill's wife said, on the U.S.-Korean relationship, because you're meeting with Kim Jong-il. Americans never have an opportunity to meet with Kim Jong-il, and his word is the final word, so if they do manage to talk about the U.S.-Korean relationship in broader terms, there's at least the slimmest possibility that the thing could change because of this direct interaction.
Now, while we're certainly aware of this story, and Americans are aware of this story, it's still been fairly low profile. We haven't heard Laura's sister, Lisa Ling, who's quite well known to the American public, for example, making a public plea for her sister's release. Are there diplomatic reasons for that, to kind of keep it under the radar a bit?
Absolutely, and I think you'll see the same thing happening with respect to the three hikers who were seized in Iran. But even more so in the case of North Korea. North Korea can be prickly. It's very sensitive. And at the end of the day, if they are holding the two journalists, then they have the cards on this particular issue. And name-calling and screaming and making it a big public deal doesn't normally work with the North Koreans and isn't going to help get them freed. It also simply raises the value of the bargaining chip, as it were, that the more you make it a public issue, the more those people being held are of political value and improves the bargaining position of the North. So for a variety of reasons in cases like this, and again, you'll see this with the Americans being held in Iran, low profile seems to be the way to go.
So, Jim, what are your predictions for success here? I mean, the fact is diplomatic efforts have not worked thus far. These women have been convicted and sentenced to 12 years of hard labor. Are North Koreans in a mood to negotiate?
I would have to guess yes, at least on this issue. This trip, I don't think, would be happening unless there was some evidence on both parties' parts that this was going to be a successful outcome. It serves neither North Korea nor the U.S. to have this end badly. And these opportunities are so few and far between that I don't think it happened. This is just no one called up and said, hey, you want to come over? And someone says, yeah, I guess I'll come over. This has been talked about, negotiated. The final deal may not be worked out, but there's at least a good enough chance that it's all going to work that both parties felt confident enough to give it a try.
Well, Jim Walsh, there's certainly a long tradition of quid pro quo, as the North Koreans are very skilled at getting what they want with the limited bargaining chips they have at their disposal. If North Korea should suddenly accredit a bunch of journalists from Seoul to come into Pyongyang to cover this, what should the response of Western media be? To go there or what?
Oh, I would think so. First of all, the Western media, particularly since things started to turn sour this spring, have not had the access that they've had in past years. for a while there, North Korea was sort of opening up and even allowing one agency to set up a little mini bureau, and that all became much more difficult once rumors of Kim's stroke took place back in August of 2008. So I think anytime you get a chance to go into North Korea, speaking personally and professionally, you need to take it.
Well, I'd certainly go, Jim. Interesting stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. You were listening to Jim Walsh, a North Korea expert at MIT at the Security Studies Program there. And, you know, there's a great documentary on North Korea done out of KCET Los Angeles, and it shows a traffic cop in the middle of Pyongyang directing, and there's no traffic.
Hmm.
I would love to go to Pyongyang.
Amazing.